This episode is brought to you by Mountain Sea Media. I spent half my life near the Pacific Ocean and the other half in the mountains of Central Oregon. These places are full of profound stories and experiences that guide my life, even now as a media creator and a beer professional. This is how Mountain Sea Media was born. I realized how impactful stories are to our lives and business. Stories share good experiences and the warmth of friends. They improve business by sharing these experiences and connecting deeply with our customers. If you'd like to connect better with your customers through copywriting and storytelling, contact me at jeremy@mountainseamedia.com. It's your story. I'll help you tell it. Welcome to a special mini-series of the Good Beer Matters podcast. These episodes are dedicated to helping the small, regional, large breweries, distributors, importers, as well as on and off-premise businesses in the beer industry survive this pandemic and even thrive once it's over. In this special series, we hear from industry experts to get their take on the biggest challenges and what you can do about it. My guest today is Julie Rhodes, who has spent her career in sales and marketing working with importers, distributors, and breweries. She now runs her own consulting firm called Not Your Hobby Marketing Solutions, aimed at helping beer businesses improve their sales and marketing. Hey, Julie. Nice to have you on the podcast again. How are you doing with all this pandemic stuff?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very, very happy to be back on the podcast, and I'm doing as best as I can, which is about as good as it can be, and I think that's what everybody's doing right now, is just doing the best that they can with the things that they can control and, you know, the sun rises every day.
Yeah.
Get up and try again.
Without further ado, we've got a bit to talk about. First things first, Julie, what are you drinking right now? Let's promote some small breweries.
Okay. Well, I am drinking kind of a special beer, actually, that's unfortunately not available to the public, but it was a special release, a collaboration between NOLA Brewing, so shout out to NOLA Brewing Company, and they paired up with the Wild Goose and Mahin Canning Solutions. Shout out to Wild Goose as well. My husband is one of their fabricators, so if anybody needs a canning line, I highly recommend them.
Excellent.
And this is their, it's called their Wild Goza, obviously, a play off of the Wild Goose name. And it's a kettle sour with apricot and plums.
Perfect. And I am drinking a wonderful beer from Flick's Brew House. It is called Chandler. They call me Mr. Pills. It's a kind of an export pilsner. It is quite strong. I can taste the alcohol. It's got this nice acidity that's coming along with the malt as well. But they are based out of, I've looked them up. I've never been to them, but I've tasted a few beers from them before, and they've all been really good. But they're based out of Texas, Iowa, Arizona, Indiana, New Mexico, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, and of course, Texas. Once again, they have like half a dozen places in Texas, apparently. But I'm looking forward to visiting them. Apparently they do like movies, like the old, you know, dinner theater, but with beer.
Yeah. No, I recognize the name now. It's the spelling that was throwing me off, the pronunciation. It's F-L-I-X, right?
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm a native Texan, so I recognize them. Yeah,
right on. Yeah, I've found a few of their beers have made it to my hand, and they've all been delicious. And so I'd love to go down there and catch a flick one of these days. But so that's a quick shout out to a couple of local breweries that need some love as soon as this craziness is over. Just real quick, Julie, you know, I want to keep this succinct, but just remind us why you're an authority and why you have something valuable to share with the rest of us in the world of beer. Tell us about your background, essentially.
Okay. Well, I spent a very, very long time, almost 20 years in the service industry. It put me through college. It helped me pay for my BA in marketing. I have a formal background in marketing. Bartending all the way through college turned me on to beer. There were a bunch of gateway beers in there. I won't get into that today, but, it made me realize that I have a lot of passion for beer and I have a lot of passion for business. And I eventually found my way into brewery sales, working on the supplier side of the industry and Eventually, that phased into brewery marketing as well. And I've been on that side of the beer industry for over 10 years. And then in the spring of last year, I founded my own company. It's called Not Your Hobby Marketing Solutions. And what I do is I basically teach people to sell more beer. I work with growing craft breweries that don't have access to a lot of resources to help them with business skill training. And I work on helping them understand the fundamentals of sales and marketing and management so that they can tackle this difficult market a little bit easier.
Perfect. So as we get into this right now, we have a lot of breweries, both small, regional, large. We have distributors, we have importers, we have off and on premises that are effectively all but shut down, if not completely shut down as a result of this. From your perspective, from the sales and marketing side, with your lengthy experience and the work you're doing now as a sales consultant, from your point of view, what's going on right now? What are the biggest challenges for these different businesses in the beer industry?
You know, it's hard. There's quite a few, and I will try my hardest. I actually kind of made some notes about this because I didn't want to go too far with going on a tangent, and I want to get straight to the point. I think, first of all, the biggest challenge right now is that I feel like most people, regardless of the size or the market segment that you're in, is funding and cash flow is the biggest challenge right now. Where this happened very fast and furious. I don't want to say it came out of nowhere because we've been talking about this like since November, December, but I don't think anyone realized that it would get to this point where there would be massive shutdowns and alterations of business as quote unquote normal. So I see in the immediate few weeks that cash flow and funding is the biggest problem. Is how do we stay afloat? How do we keep the lights on? How do we keep our employees? How fast can we get some of these government assistance programs that are going on? But at the same time, I also see a very big problem with sales and marketing as well. And I want people to really remember that because when your business model gets completely altered, right? Say you're just running like a straight taproom model. Your business model is built off of experience, right? An in-person experience. And that's very hard to translate when you're completely turned on your head, right? So it's going to be a big challenge in figuring out revenue streams that you can discover to generate more sales that weren't there before and that you're now missing from places like tap rooms and the actual breweries and whatnot, on special events that you had planned or special releases or whatever you had going on. And then also figuring out how to keep your customer base very engaged with your brand when you're not providing as many experience opportunities as there were before actually in person. Because a lot of brand loyalty comes from actually connecting, you know, with a brand and having that kind of connection. So I think it's going to be a struggle to try to recreate a very connection-filled special experience with people who are fans of your beers and keep them engaged and attentive and making sure that they don't forget about you, basically, when everything kind of starts to, I hate to say come back to normal, but when the dust kind of settles. So I think as far as like very like nano size to, you know, smaller breweries, you're going to have to figure out pivots, whether that's to package, you know, to go curbside pickup, delivery, whatever it is, which I know can be a challenge because some of those options are expensive. For those people, I would say marketing is probably going to be a big action item for you at this point. I think the larger, like medium to large size breweries have a little bit more of a cushion because most of them are doing packaging and most of them are in like the wholesale channel and they, you know, probably have a distributor that they're working with and they might be in grocery or, you know, pharmacy or, you know, different classes of trade that might be kind of saving them. I would say for those folks, again, funding you know, accelerating to get relief as soon as they can so that they can continue operations and continue to thrive in like the package and like off trade focus as much as they can, with a focus on grocery, honestly. Distributors, I think, are going to have the biggest problem with keg logistics, in my opinion. I read a really great article the other day, I think it was Beer Business Daily, about how kegs are also sheltering in place at this point, you know, metaphorically speaking, you know,
The
consumers are sheltering in place, and it's probably a good idea for the kegs to shelter in place at this point. We don't need to be violating any regulations by doing illegal dumping. You know, people need to worry about how they're cleaning their lines or maintaining coolers, things like that. But our system doesn't have the capacity to support all the kegs coming back at one time. So we just need to kind of chill out for a little bit. That's a problem. Imports, I don't know. Imports are not really doing that badly right now. A lot of import companies run like a very low overhead model, and they have very few employees. The problem with them is going to be tax policy, like paying attention to that on what what's going on with imports and exports, and then how they're handling products coming in as far as sanitization and how it's changing hands. And again, I to kind of wrap it up in a nutshell, I think first priority is probably financing and cash flow. Second priority is probably sales and marketing emphasis, with making sure that you are doing the most that you can to keep your customers engaged as much as possible.
And it seems like times like this, whether it's this pandemic or it's a recession or it's a depression or it's a war or something like that, whenever there's an economic downturn, classically, that's when the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It seems like cash flow is the root of that. When you don't have cash flow, you need to liquidate stuff so that you can get some cash flow. But if you have a bunch of cash flow, then you can get all the stuff at pennies on the dollar, knowing full well, eventually we will come out of this, life will go on, and you will have a ton of assets that you got for next to nothing.
Right. I actually had a conversation about that earlier today, that it's kind of like when the stock market goes down and you're supposed to buy everything on sale, you know, because it will come back eventually. You're getting a heck of a deal. You know, you probably should be investing into your business as much as you possibly can so that you can see the returns long term. But it's kind of hard to see right now in panic mode.
Yeah, of course. And that's where people like Warren Buffett and Ray Dalio have done a better job, because they are anticipating times like this. They are expecting this to come, and they are prepared for that. This seems like it caught all of us with our pants down. Because it just happened so quick. I mean, I think the only thing that happened quicker would be like 9/11. These are things that hopefully moving forward, we can anticipate something like this. Cash flow was a huge conversation I had with clients that I worked with. A lot of people wanted to buy equipment outright because ownership was just the best way to go. Not always. There's some strategic benefit to keeping cash flow positive. So, on the next, and I'm not even a financial savant. I'm a financial idiot, and even I know that. So,
that's another thing. I should probably say a disclaimer. I am a like sales and marketing expert. I am definitely not a financial expert, but that's literally coming from the perspective of my other colleagues in the industry that I have discussed some of these issues with as well, coming from the accounting side and the finance side, the borrowing side. The legal perspective, I have been conversing with like some beer lawyers out there, and we've been talking about things as well. And then honestly, I'm a small business owner myself, so I'm also worried. I'm paying attention to everything.
Yeah. Well, and I just draw, I'm not a financial person at all, but I just draw from my past experiences as a, working in emergency services. You need to know your exits, and you need a plan B and a plan C, because plan A rarely works out just like you planned. So on a slightly more positive note, what do you think is most likely to happen? And even more importantly, what can those business owners, the breweries, the on-premise, what can they do to survive and even thrive? Because we know that this is a cycle. We will we've come out of every depression, we've come out of everything, and things have gotten better. This will not be any different. But how do people hang in long enough to plan for that inevitable reemergence?
Well, I think the likely scenario of all of this is that I think the breweries that are in planning right now that are, you know, maybe 6 to 9 months out will probably be okay. You know, they might have some in their plans, but I think they're going to be all right. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the smaller folks that are taproom only models where they aren't packaging, they're having trouble. The problem is we're trying to force innovation, right? Like, we're trying to force this growth that normally takes quite a bit of time. Honestly, there's like licensing involved and labeling and materials and equipment and all this stuff. When you try to force that, it's just not, sometimes it's just not possible. So I think a lot of these smaller folks that are reliant 100% on their tap room, unfortunately might have to close or, I don't know. I think the people that are packaging and that are in retail right now have a more promising outlook. I think that if they can hang on with a little bit of funding assistance from the government or from other sources, I think they'll be fine. You're going to have to alter your business model, you know? And I think for the larger folks, figuring out, I think you're probably going to have to do some layoffs and some rearranging of staff and maybe some reappropriation of people or functions, you know, whatever it is. But also finding a way to pivot into different revenue streams, whether that's like, I hate to say it, but like a hard seltzer or a non-alcoholic or something to where you can create income from something that wasn't there before. Just getting a little bit creative with your revenue streams and figuring out how to find money in basically find change in the couch, you know, that you didn't know that was there before.
Sure. All the breweries come prohibition. They shut down their brewing operations, and the ones that survived, you know, started making malted soda or started getting into the dairy industry and other sodas. And there was a quick pivot. Granted, it was probably larger ones that had the equipment and ability to make that change. And maybe even the wherewithal to make that change. But there are some lessons in the past that we can pull during this time to sure. make it work. I mean, a lot of this equipment can turn into dairy equipment, and maybe we start making cheese instead of beer or both or, you know, whatever it is.
Possibly. But, I mean, if you, you know, not to go like way, way back, but if you look at some of the like Trappist organizations mm-hmm. that, you know, have veered into other fermented products, whether that's cheese or bread or things like chocolate, or they're making things like soap or byproducts or whatever it might be, just working with what you have, even if it's canned water, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, maybe it's like a specialty canned water or like an electrolyte beverage mm-hmm. or a kombucha or something, you know what I mean? Something just to kind of utilize, like leverage the resources that you already have and adapt to the current, I'm showing air quotes here, although nobody can hear that, like current market conditions, because that's what we're working with mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
So I think, likely scenario, I would say, if I had to ballpark it, I would say about 30% of the industry we're probably going to lose. Like 25 to 30%. And I think the rest of the folks are going to find some way to gain assistance and funding. In the meantime, they'll probably furlough their employees. They'll redirect some of their work efforts, you know, the production crew that is still there. But I think it's going to, for lack of a better term, to be like the great equalizer. I think we're going to start going back to basics, you know, not all the bells and whistles, not all special releases all the time, back to the basics, quality beer in quantities that make sense with smart expansion plans and really being careful about the way that you run a business and making sure that it's lean and efficient and that you have some sort of backup, whether it's extra cash flow or extra cash reserves somewhere that you can pull from. Just like as a family, you would have like an emergency fund, like 6 months of expenses on hand pretty much all the time. You probably need more than that for a brewery, but that's just the analogy that I'm throwing out there. You need kind of an emergency fund. And I think that the business side of things are going to come to the forefront because you can't just run out the door and say, hey, I have craft beer to sell, and people flock to your tap room. Like, that's not going to happen anymore, right? You've got to figure out a way to be strategic about your internal business plans and your external business plans. Outside sales, heavy emphasis on digital marketing. Heavy, heavy, heavy. I cannot stress that enough. Digital marketing could possibly save your entire craft beer brand at this point. And it's low cost. That's the bonus. It's very low cost. You just need a little bit of education, a little bit of guidance, and you really have no limitations except for your imagination and creativity.
Yeah. And I do see some brands that are getting creative online. I spend more time on Instagram than anything else. But they're getting creative. They're finding the silver lining, or they're taking advantage of, hey, we've got this time to kind of breathe and take a step back. But we still have to move forward somehow. And there's a few brands so far that seem to be doing that pretty well. Do you have any specific advice or links or things that you can recommend to people other than, what you just said, as far as kind of those people who want to survive and set themselves up for thriving when this is all said and done, maybe not doubling down, but spending time on, keeping their brand top of mind, knowing full well that when we are finally able to go out and go back to the breweries, the first ones to open will likely be the first ones to capture the consumers. But do you have any tips or links or anything like that to share?
Well, first of all, I've been trying very hard over the past couple of weeks to provide as much assistance as I can to my craft beer community, because I've dedicated almost 3 decades of my life to this business. I mean, this is very close to my heart. And the best thing that I can do at this point that is in my control is just help people with the knowledge and the experience that I have, from my side, from the sales and marketing side. So I have all of, and I know you've received them, but some people haven't seen some of the free resources that I've been sharing with breweries, as many as I can. Those are up for free on my website if anybody wants to go there. It's notyourhobbymarketing.com/COVID resources. They're free on there. They're free to use. It details out some tips for how to sell beer remotely or from a distance when you have to do things virtually and there's still social distancing going on. That's a problem that I've seen lately, because I think people are forgetting about their retailers and their distributors, and please don't do that. I will say that right now for a big tip. That's one of the worst things that you could do right now. Make sure that you're staying in contact with all your retail accounts. Make sure you're staying in close contact with all your distributors, and make sure that they know how much inventory you have, what you have going on. If you have any special releases coming out, don't feel scared to launch something new. I mean, everybody could use something new and good right now. not that you would use all the same bells and whistles that maybe you would use last time, but go for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've produced it, get it out there, talk to people about it. There's also a big section on my website dedicated to digital marketing, like tips and tactics. There's a lot of ideas for creative promotions that you can do online. I have seen some of the coolest things lately from the craft beer community about doing virtual brewery tours, walking somebody through your brewery using Facebook Live or or Instagram Live, and I'm sorry that my dog.
So your dog is not following the social distancing.
No, I'm sorry. No, they are not following the social distancing rules right now. So, and I've seen people do, live streams of tastings where you set the lineup for people beforehand. Like, hey, go to your retail outlet, buy this beer, this beer, this beer, and this beer. We're going to do a food pairing. We're going to talk about each beer. We're going to talk to the brewmaster. And then it becomes interactive again. Those are the ways that you can transport that experience from being there, like at the tap room or the brewery, and then putting it online. I've seen people doing contests. I've seen people offering discounts on special programs where you like earn rewards throughout the year for like a membership program or a mug club or, something like that. Like just, buy a gift certificate for yourself for your next birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to someone the other day, turn your brewery t-shirt into a face covering and buy a new one from the brewery and their online merch shop. There's ways to do this. You really have to think outside of the box, to tackle this, but the more that you can involve your community, the better, whether that's through email, social media. Send snail mail. Send them a postcard. Write them a letter. Again, go back to basics. People love craft beer because it feels personal, right? And there's stories and there's connections there. And you and I have spoken about that before, about these special moments that you share with certain brands. And you just need to keep reminding people of that.
Yeah.
We are going to come out the other side of this. And it is going to be fantastic.
I agree. And those relationships that are maintained through all this will be the ones that are still strong when we do come out of this. And, when we come out of the trenches and we all bond even tighter because we all went through this together, I think that's important. And so just to reiterate, so your website is Not Your Hobby Marketing. So if any of you want to contact Julie and kind of go down the, hey, I don't know what I want to do, but I'm not ready to let go of the reins of my brewery or business. I need some help. You can talk to Julie. And even though your services and my services kind of overlap a little bit, I'd be remiss if I didn't offer, my work that I do with Mountain Sea Media, creating content and copywriting, videos, audio, all that sort of stuff. But I'm not going to speak for you, Julie, but I'm willing to work with any brewing business air quotes, any budget, because I think there's a little bit of philanthropy that needs to happen. We're going to have to work together as a community to come out of this together as a community. So please contact Julie at Not Your Hobby Marketing. Contact me at Mountain Sea Media. Julie, do you have any final words you want to say before we get out of here?
Well, I can say this. I've adapted my business a little bit as well. So I wanted to make sure everybody knew. I've actually dropped all of the pricing on all of my training programs by 50% for the craft beer community until we can get out of this. So that's one thing. And then also for any of your listeners, if they are interested in any of my programs and they want to use the coupon code of GBM, for Good Beer Matters.
I like it.
That will, you enter the coupon code at checkout for the course that you want to take or that you're interested in, and then that will score you an additional 15% off your program. So I encourage people right now, just take the time. This is unexpected downtime, and I know you're in a panic state right now, but when you get past that and you get a few more things worked out, really think about going inward and looking at your business and addressing inefficiencies and cash flow and cash reserves and sales practices and marketing and things like that that can build more revenue for your brewery in places where you didn't find it before. And take the time to do that now, because you're never going to have another time to slow down like this. I don't like it that we're slowed down, but it's a good time to take advantage of a little bit of I don't know. I don't want to say we all have time to sit around and watch Netflix. I definitely don't. But, you know, you do have a little bit more time on your hands than normal.
Yeah.
So take advantage.
Yeah, we all wish we had more time to get this, that, and the other thing done. Well, here's that time. Merry Christmas. What are you going to do with it?
Yes, exactly. I always tell people grieve first and then activate afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming back on this special mini-series edition of Good Beer Matters. I think this is very poignant right now. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and expertise.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I wish everybody the best of luck and just know that I'm rooting for you.
Agreed. And just a little disclosure, thank you for offering that little discount to GBM listeners. I am not an affiliate. I do not get a commission. And she has not offered me. And if she did, I wouldn't take it. This is for you guys to keep your business alive, keep your family going, and keep building your community. Get creative and keep your pedal, the pedal to the metal. Okay?
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Cheers. See you later.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the special mini-series of the Good Beer Matters podcast. I hope it was helpful, and I can't wait to have a beer with you out in public again soon. Until then, cheers.